This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Obama names a new export council.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Bill Radke. President Obama says he wants to double exports in the next 5 years. To do that, he's appointing 18 company heads to serve on a U.S. Export Council. The president will give an update later today on the council plans and announce some big name members. For our own update, we turn to Nancy Marshall Genzer. She joins us live from our bureau in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Nancy, why is the president focusing on exports? Why not jobs?
Well, President Obama says exports actually do create jobs here in the U.S. Consumers had been the engine driving the growth in our economy, but they're pretty much tapped out and consumer confidence fell recently. I talked about this with Manmohan Sodhi. He's an expert in manufacturing and distribution at Cass Business School in London. And he says consumers just couldn't go on spending forever.
The U.S. consumer has spent a lot. I mean, internal growth is pretty hard to imagine, certainly not the kind of growth that President Obama is targeting.
And as you mentioned, Stacey, President Obama wants to double U.S. exports over the next 5 years.
So, Nancy, why do we need an export council?
Well, President Obama is reaching out to the private sector in an effort to achieve his goal. He wants to pick the brains of the nation's top executives. And this council is led by the heads of Boeing and Xerox. And the CEOs of Disney and Ford are apparently among the council members that will be announced today.
Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Nancy, thank you.
You're welcome.
Investors were on a global spending spree yesterday. This morning, more like a selling spree. In China, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell 0.1%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index dropped 0.6%. Today, London's FTSE is off 0.2%. Yesterday was a good day for U.S. markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.5% to close at 9,743. One big winner yesterday, BP. The oil giant's shares jumped more than 8.5%. Conservative TV and radio personality Glenn Beck has created something of a cottage industry. Now he wants to be an educator. Beck is launching an online university today. Mitchell Hartman explains.
So you have the hammer and the sickle. You have the artwork to Mussolini there here in New York.
That's Glenn Beck on Fox News giving a lesson on communist motifs hidden in New York landmarks. Beck won't deliver the lectures in his new online university. He's left that to a conservative activist, a business consultant, and a constitutional scholar. To enroll in classes like Faith and Hope 101, you sign up for premium content on Beck's website at $6.25 a month. And that term university, it's kind of a stretch.
Well, I think that Mr. Beck can call it whatever he wants.
Donald Heller directs the Center for the Study of Higher Education at Penn State.
There are certainly consumer laws with respect to if he claims he wants to offer degrees or credit or anything like that, but there's certainly nothing preventing him from calling it a university if he so chooses.
Education officials in New York recently slammed Donald Trump for using the word university for his online classes. They promised to teach the art of billion-dollar deal-making, so he changed the name to the Trump Entrepreneur Initiative. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
A recent study out of Yale's Rudd Center for Food Policy found kids think cartoons make food taste better. The study found kids preferred junk food with cartoon characters on the packaging. Obesity, of course, has become a major concern in this country. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus offers up his own modest proposal. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So, David, you had a solution to the obesity epidemic that you proposed in your LA Times column last week. What was that?
It's pretty simple, actually. Let's substitute tobacco for junk food when we think about regulation. And by that, what I mean is we already have very effective measures to address the tobacco problem. And in fact, we've brought the smoking rate down from nearly 50% among adults to 20% because of these steps that we take. All I'm saying is apply the same thinking to junk food, and maybe you can bring the obesity rate down as well.
And what reaction did you get for this proposal?
Well, the phrase food Nazi has resonated a number of times in my email box, and also communist, socialist. People feel very strongly when you tell them what can and can't go into their mouths. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you ban sugary beverages. I'm just saying if you treat it like tobacco, you will disincentivize. Not only will you limit the marketing, limit the sponsorships, and hopefully limit the access that kids will have to a lot of this, because health experts say it's all about the external cues. If you are exposed to external cues to eat this stuff, your body naturally says, ooh, sugar, ooh, fat, salt, I want that. So you cut that down and then also put taxes in place that would then be applied to wellness programs, just like we do with tobacco.
What has the industry response been to this kind of suggestion?
You know what? They don't like it, it turns out.
Really?
In fact, they are circling their wagons as we speak. Most of the attention so far has been on soda taxes, one of which just got defeated in New York. The industry says, look, we have to fight these things. We've got to do everything we can to work together to oppose them. Well, of course, that's what they say. One recent study at Harvard found that if you increased the price of soda, the consumption would fall off precipitously.
David Lazarus is the consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Write us and tell us what you think of David's plan. That's at letters@marketplace.org. And finally, Disney is rolling out English classes in China. The Mouse House has plans to open about 150 English language schools across China within the next 5 years. What better company to teach English than the one that invented so many totally incomprehensible characters? Disney has some financial interest in the classes. It plans to open its next theme park in Shanghai. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.